But when you're in agreement, you have the presence of God, because he said, well, two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst. You have God's presence and you have his power. Amen. Then there's the pursuit of agreement. You have to pursue agreement. Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word endeavoring means to hasten. That means to be quick about it, to always seek agreement. Agreement means being of the same mind. It means to have an undivided opinion. It means to have consensus with one another. In fact, the scripture tells us that we are not to let any division be among us, but we're to be joined together in the same mind and in the same discernment. We're supposed to speak the same thing. We have to even have agreement in our words. Yes. Now, I can tell you times me and her didn't agree on stuff. And it's a struggle. For instance, I got a tree in my front yard. That thing wasn't growing. One year it didn't produce no leaves on it. And I went out there and I said, Jesus spoke to the tree, I can speak to it too. I command the tree to live. Then I put some fertilizer around it. And Cece said, that tree dead, cut it down. You need to get rid of that tree. I said, don't mess with my faith. Leave my faith alone. That's my faith project. I said, just keep your mouth off the tree. So I know I wasn't going to get no agreement with her. I said, but it's just me and God now. So I said, look, I don't need agreement for you on this one here. This is my project. And last year, I had somebody come and cut all the dead stuff off of it. No. Still didn't do nothing. But I kept on speaking. I'd pass by in my car and say, you're going to live, not die. You're going to be beautiful. And this year, boy, them limbs done start sprouting up all over the place. Coming out of that. And I passed by and said, Cece, look at the tree over there. Even my neighbor noticed. She said, your tree's doing much better this year, ain't it?
Miami Heat and the Spurs.
What?
Miami Heat and the Spurs.
What that got to do with anything? We ain't in agreement on that. She's talking about basketball now. Now, she always go with who I'm going. I don't know why she's trading out, being a traitor. We have so much in common. She like everything I like. I don't like everything she like, but she like most everything I like because I'm kind of common. But she root for all the teams I root for. She like all the shows I like to watch. I put Animal Planet on yesterday. And I said, boy, I just love them. I love seeing them animals out in the safari. She said, I like that too. I said, why are you always trying to be like me? She said, well, I like shows like that too. I said, why are you always trying to be like me? I said, you just copy everything I do. That's a blessing.
Yes,
so we ain't arguing about what we gonna watch. You know how many times the TV done put people on opposite sides of the bed? Come over here, baby. Give me a little sugar. You wouldn't let me watch my show tonight. We ain't getting nothing. I have a lot more. But I think I'm going to stop right here because of time. But what I was going to talk to you about now, and I'm going to have to wait till next time, is that I'm going to talk about the fundamental areas of agreement, the areas that you need to work on being in agreement. There's about seven of them that you just can't allow disagreement. There's seven areas of your marriage that you just cannot allow the devil to get a foothold in. Because if you get these areas right, then those areas where you don't agree won't even amount to nothing. Right? Because you know two people, two imperfect people not going to agree on everything, but you got to agree on the majors. Right? And then the little stuff, you know, you just let that stuff be like chaff in the wind. It don't mount to a hill of beans anyway. So I'm going to talk to you about that, and then I'm going to talk to you about the restoration of agreement. How do you let God restore the agreement to your marriage? That's what I want to talk about.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you receive the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
I'd like to invite you to special services with New York Times best-selling author, Minister Bill Weiss, author of 23 Minutes in Hell, on Sunday, June 22nd at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m.
At 3 o'clock in the morning, I was picked up and taken by the Lord and dropped off in a prison cell in hell. It was rough-hewn stone walls with bars. My mouth was so dry. I noticed the first thing was the tremendous heat. There's not enough air. And I noticed there were these huge creatures in the cell, and they were just cursing God, and they had absolutely no mercy. I could see flames in the distance. The flames were raging hundreds of feet in the air. I could hear millions of people screaming, and they're burning, literally burning. It's not important for people to believe my experience. The most important point is that God loves us so much that he sent his son to die so that we wouldn't have to go. God's a loving God. He didn't intend for you to go to hell, but you have a choice. Choose life.
The Word Christian Center is located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. I look forward to seeing you there. The Word Christian Center is an underwriting sponsor of KAYT 88.1.
Strongholds are breaking. Yokes are being destroyed. Burdens are being removed by the authority and the power of the Word of God.
Hello, I'm Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I'd like to invite you to our annual Word Explosion
beginning September 4th through the 7th.
This conference is designed to strengthen you, empower you, equip you, and bless you by focusing on the life-changing power of the Word of God. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." We're going to saturate ourselves for 4 days and nights in the Word of God and see God perform his word with signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost.
This will be 4 days of power, 4 days of revelation, 4 days of healing, 4 days of building our faith in the Word of God. Our special guest ministers are Reverend Greg Green from Baton Rouge, Reverend Larry Brown from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and Pastor Robert Little from New Orleans. These ministers will bring a fresh revelation of God's Word with power and demonstration.
You don't want to miss these life-changing meetings as we allow God to speak to us from his Word.
Service times are Thursday through Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. nightly, and on Sunday morning at 10 a.m.
Everyone is invited. You don't want to miss this explosion of blessing.
Plan now to attend the Word Explosion
beginning
September 4th through the 7th
at the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. The Word Christian Center is located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. For more information, call 318-442-8100 or visit our website at thewordcc.com.
Get ready for an explosion of Word. I look forward to seeing you there, and may God richly bless you.
The Word Christian Center is an underwriting sponsor of KAYT 88.1.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, now as we turn our attention to your word, let the Holy Ghost do as only he can in the text. Let him tailor what we're teaching to meet and reach each and every one right where they are, and then lift us to the place you'd have us to be for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said, amen. God bless you. If you turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. I want to commence reading at verse 24. And it reads, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. As we look at this word and we realize that this parent goes to the Lord Jesus Christ for deliverance for her daughter, it is clear that Jesus provides help for hurting parents. And she's one such parent who has recognized and realized that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is present to heal. And she, after hearing the many testimonies of the healings and deliverances of those who had been touched by Jesus, taught by Jesus, and who had been ministered to by Jesus, realized that she too would make an appeal to the one who was able to do what she desired him to do. One of the things that you recognize is as Jesus moves from Israel into Gentile country is the fact that he shows he's a savior for all. Starts off with Israel because the promise is to them first, and then it is to spread abroad. And so he, in his pedestrian mentality, takes the gospel to all that he is able to reach, and he shows this Greek-speaking woman, this Syrophoenician by nationality, that he too is willing to bless her in her turn. Now, I want you to see this because there are many interesting things that I think we need to recognize and see about this word, because before us, we'll discover that the same reality that may be evident in this woman's situation could very well be present in many of our situations as parents, even in this present day. There are some things I think we can learn from this woman who was not a part of the Hebrew nation, but yet because of God's desire, because of God's mercy, and because of God's grace, has an opportunity to activate her faith and pull down her blessings, even in the face of what appears to be an insult that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this word is no new word to us. We've heard it many times, but there are different things God reveals when the message comes around again. I want you to hear it. I want you to open your inner ear so that you can apply these principles to your own problems and be able, with promise, to know what God will do for those who know who they are and whose they are willing to activate their faith in the one who is able to do all things but fail. Look again, I want you to go back to the word. The Bible says in verse 24, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be healed. Now again, this is where Jesus begins to take his ministry beyond the borders of Israel and beyond the people who originally assigned the blessings of the Lord, into the Gentile country. Now, this was no mistake. It was no accident. However, there were things that Jesus had planned and had scheduled that seemingly brought themselves to a quicker presentation. So that's why the Bible says he goes into this house and would that no man know it. He was getting himself together and ready. But let me say something about need and about faith. Even though Jesus was not ready to see them, this woman is clear that she was ready to see him. Now, even though there are things that the Lord has shown in place, he has a structure and he has an operation that he orderly walks through, goes through, moves through, flows through. But every now and then, when somebody of faith meets the eye of Jesus, hears the word of Jesus, catches the heart of Jesus, they are able to get a miracle even when it isn't their turn. I want to tell somebody here, you've been waiting on your blessing, waiting on your miracle, waiting on your breakthrough, waiting on your healing, waiting on your deliverance, waiting on your ship to come in, whatever it is, whenever you get to the point where you're not capable of waiting any longer, activate your faith to a point where it pleases God and you may discover you don't have to wait any longer. Listen at this, because I want you to see something. First thing I want you to note in the verses I've read from verse 25 to 30 is three things. First, we want to deal with the fact that this woman, she was a disturbed parent. She was a disturbed parent. And as you keep looking through, and I'll bring you back there, you're going to find out that she was a determined parent. And then lastly, you're going to discover that she was a delighted parent. Now let's go back up to the fact that she was a disturbed parent. The Bible says, verse 25, for a certain woman, this is a true story, and I've shared with you before, when you see the word certain in this context, it means it was a real person, a real situation. The names were hidden because they were not trying to spotlight the person, but rather highlight the principle, which means you could put your name there. Listen, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Let's consider this disturbed parent, this disturbed woman's, first of all, her hurt. Her hurt. How many parents will agree with me when I say, no matter what your child is going through, is dealing with, whatever hurts them hurts you more? Any parents in the house? Because we are not always able to measure the amount of pain they feel, we somewhat in a compassionate way touch and try to feel what they feel. And most times, because of who we are, our pain goes even further, because we not only hurt for them, but we hurt also because if we could take the pain that many of them go through, we would do it, but we are unable to do so. So I want you to look at this woman's hurt. Her daughter is at home. She leaves her daughter at home, and the reason I know she's hurt, because the text says she comes there, and verse 25, she heard of him and came and fell at his feet. This word denotes the fact that she was so full of pain and had become so weak that at his feet she fell down in a position of pain and of mercy, and she cries out to the Lord because her whole desire is to have her daughter healed, have her daughter delivered. She knows what this child has gone through. She knows the agony and pain that this demonic spirit has put her child through. If a child can't sleep, she can't sleep. If a child goes through mental and emotional disturbances, she on another level goes through the very same thing. If a child doesn't eat, it takes her appetite. I mean, on and on and on. So the child suffers, but this mother hurts also. But I not only want you to see her hurt, but I want you to see this mother's hope. Because I can tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you're hurt, and if you've got any faith in you, you'll know that this hurt won't last always. if you've got hope. Listen to this. Her hurt is what brought her to Jesus. But it wasn't there that she stopped. She went to Jesus to express to him what her desire was. And it came from her hope. She had no doubt sought other measures before Jesus, but none of them worked. She had no doubt perhaps tried the local church and the presbytery there, but none of that worked. But she had heard some other people who had done that and it didn't work, but she found a man that it had worked for many different people with many different issues and many different circumstances, and all of them had the same report. He healed me. He delivered me. He worked a miracle on me. Nobody left disappointed. They came to him and got from him just what they wanted. And I'm so glad, no matter what your issue is versus the person on the side of you, if you both go in faith, you both leave there fixed. Listen to this. So she goes to him not only in hurt, but in hope. Look at the text, because I want you to see verse 26. It says, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Yes, she comes to him, and in her hurt, he sees her hope. Yes, she doesn't come to him just to ask him. She comes to him believing. Yes. Not only that he could, but that he would. She comes with no less than perfection to her request, to her pursuit, to her desire. In other words, she made up her mind she wasn't leaving Jesus till she got what she went for. And I want you to see this, because her hope gets Jesus's attention, because there are some things that interplay in the dialogue that shares with us that Jesus is moved by the fact that this woman came to him and she knew that he had what she wanted and needed and was not going to leave there till she got it. Let's go on, because I want you to see something else. She was disturbed, but she was also determined. I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, whatever you're going through, do not ever allow your disturbances to discount your determination. Maybe I'll say that again. You didn't get that. I said, don't ever let your disturbances discount your determination. In other words, with the tears flowing down your cheek, make up your mind, I'm going to tell Jesus all about it. And don't let situations, circumstances, people, and problems get you to the point where you discount the fact that if you don't go to Jesus and tell him and stay there till he answers, that you're responsible for your own breakthrough, for your own blessings, and for your own benefits. Can't nobody tell Jesus for you what you can tell Jesus for you. And can't nobody, I want to throw this out parenthetically as well, do you like Jesus can do you. So you ought to be determined when you make up your mind and your mind is fixed and your heart is fixed and you are already determined that you're going to get what you want from the Lord. I've got a helpful holy hint for you. Don't leave there till you get it. See, if some of us knew how to pray till we got a breakthrough. If some of us knew how to pray till we got a confirmation. If some of us knew how to pray till the burden was lifted. If some of us knew how to pray till we heard heaven hearing. If some of us knew how to pray till the Lord said, well done, we could get up off our knees and start our praise party, because God heard us in our prayer party. Listen at this, because I want you to see something. Now, she was a determined woman. Not only was she a disturbed woman, but she was a determined woman, a determined parent, a determined mother. And I want to say a word for some of you mothers out here and fathers, but in this case, this is a woman, so I want to say to you, there is power in a mother's prayer. I think I need to say that again. There is power in a mother's prayer. You don't know how you get God's attention. When you cry out to God from a mother's heart about your child and your situation, I want you to know, when you're sincere and when you're determined, God will not only hear, but he will answer your prayer. whole lot of us are here right now, not because we did what we wanted to do, chose this path to go on, but we had some praying mothers who told the Lord. And sometimes, listen, mothers, you may have a situation where you've done all you could do. The child has grown up now and has decided to do things on his or her own way, and with their own influences from their own structures and companies. But I got news for you. Don't give up on praying. Because the Bible says you train a child in the way he should grow. When he grows older, he will not depart. It didn't say he wouldn't veer off. But just like he detoured, he's going to confirm his right route and go back down the right way. Sometimes they got to see that what you say is real. Sometimes they got to get a little taste of this world and realize that this world isn't their friend and this world isn't their home. And when the world hates them and hurts them, they'll realize you knew what you were talking about. And sometimes you just got to let them go to find out that you know what you're talking about. And all you got to do when you let them go is leave your arms open. Because Luke 15 says, when they come to themselves, Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. They're going to find themselves back at home or in your presence or saying, Mama, Daddy, you were right. And so this determined mother, this determined parent, did not stop at difficulty. You got to know the devil don't want you to succeed. Devil doesn't want you to press your way. Doesn't want you to stay on the battlefield till you won. But rather wants you to wave the flag of surrender, throw in the white towel, throw your hands up and say, I quit. But oh, be determined. Just like this woman. Let me share something with you. She had, verse 27 reveals this, she had a strange refusal. Listen at this now. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet or fix or fit or right. Listen at this, to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. Listen at this, in the research on this particular phrase, it was several things connected with this, but first of all, it was a term of disrespect, of disdain. It was a term that was used to speak down, a very condescending term that was usually used when folk referred to another nationality or another person as a dog. But what also was revealed in the research was the fact that this word also had a lighter side to the understanding. It was the same way we use the word dog in our culture. You can use that same word and say, you a dog. You can also turn around and say, that's my dog. And I want you to understand this, because when Jesus used it, he used it of the lighter side. It was not to be disrespectful. He was making up the point, because the reference is that bread was never thrown to wild dogs, because that would only increase their presence. But the dogs that was referred to as pets, as what they call puppies and house dogs, were affectionately referred to. It is suggested that Jesus was using this term or this word in this context, that he was saying, yes, because notice how he says, and I want you to go back. The Bible says, but Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. Now, if Jesus was calling her the dog with the negative connotation, he would not have added first. He would not have said to give the woman hope that you can have some of the bread or the crumbs, as this woman so clearly points out. But he would have made it clear, you can't have none of it. But the fact that he puts it in this form, which says, again, let the children first be filled, suggests after the children are filled, which represented the children of Israel after they got their blessings,